I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. Second half of the show is live. We began a couple hours ago with Coach Sonny Dykes from SMU 2 Texas Christian, as we... I talked to a number of coaches around college football, getting you ready for the season. We will talk to a student reporter from the University of Alabama a little bit later in this hour. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Bobby in South Carolina. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I turned on TV today and I hear AC on here, bad mouth in America. Somebody needs to remind him that if it wasn't for us Americans, his queen would be speaking German right now. I mean, he just doesn't seem to understand that, if, you know, the American people are the reason he's free today. So for him to sit back and bitch about, you know, how bad we are, I mean, the guy didn't seem like he had, you know, had all his whereabouts with him. I mean, it sounds to me like the best part of him ran down his mama's leg. I mean, somebody needs to straighten him out, Paul.
You know, listen, I believe, we can feel however we want. That doesn't mean we have to like it. I don't think he knows what he believes. And I think what we did was we were able to figure out that it's not America that he hates. It's just he hates everyone. And he's just got a serious problem, and there's nothing any of us can do about it either. Hey, thank you very much for the call. I think we were talking to Larry earlier, and we ran out of time. Is that right, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just
Glad
wanted to
back.
Tell you a couple things that I thought you would really enjoy. The first thing was, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Thank you.
Okay. The first thing was I was at Post Friend, Tennessee State Trooper, just outside Knoxville, and I'd got down a little early, so I was watching your show. Well, he walks in, and I'm always talking about you. And he's standing there, and he said, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's Paul Feinbaum when he was young." "That's him with all that hair?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know he had to be a troublemaker now, Larry. You know he did." And we laughed about that. Here's another story. This is true. Around 1970, I believe Joe Hall was coach. I'm sure you remember Ray Mears, right?
Of course.
Okay. There were so many death threats on Ray Mears. This is back in the day now when people in Kentucky and Tennessee weren't the best of friends. There were so many death threats that he stayed at the Holiday Inn in Richmond. And the state police had to provide security for him because they was afraid somebody was going to kill him. And that's a true story.
I believe that. No, I was in school when Ray Mears was the coach and got to know him really well. But I got to know him better later. And he was just a wonderful guy who never really got the credit for his coaching career. But he drove Adolph Rupp crazy. He played a very complicated defense, and
yes, he did.
I'm pretty sure he told me a story once that he had a poison dart through Adolph Rupp's picture in his office. I mean, he was into voodoo, I think, but he was one of the few coaches that had success against Adolph Rupp.
Well, I got to know him very well that night. You can imagine standing outside his room, making sure nobody got near that room. But let me tell you this. I've been scratching my head trying to figure out who you remind me of. And there is one person that it finally dawned on me who you remind me of.
Well, I can't wait
and
to hear
this. And that person was an icon in the state of Kentucky. And because of your recall ability and the ability to know your profession of sports so well, it finally dawned on me who you remind me of. And his name, I don't know if you knew him or ever met him. His name was Kaywood Ledford.
Well, Larry, I am always one to accept a compliment, but I can't accept this compliment because it's just, Kaywood Ledford was in a class by himself. I didn't get to know him, and I don't think there's ever been in the history of college broadcasting a better play-by-play announcer. I would listen to his games from Knoxville, from Birmingham when I moved there on the Louisville. I think it was WHAS. And
right.
Nobody's ever done play-by-play like he did. And I was fortunate to meet him a couple of times when I was a student and later. I appreciate the compliment. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, as my mother used to say.
Well, let me say this to you about him. And let me say this to you about him. The thing that I don't know about the play-by-play. I've never seen you do that.
Well, I've never done it. So.
Your professional, your recall and your knowing the sport and the way you handle yourself, it reminds me so much of him. I can still hear him now walking up a ramp and saying, "Boys, how we doing tonight?" I said, "Pretty good, Kaywood." And he said, I said, "What are we going to win by?" And he says, "Well, maybe 20, maybe 25. Probably be a pretty rough game. Never be about it."
No, he, Kaywood, I got to know, and you probably know Jim Host.
Yes, sir.
Jim Host, who we've talked to here, really with Kaywood, helped create one of the most successful radio franchises ever. Through not only UK, but through the NCAA. And he has gotten credit, but not enough. But these are people that really should be remembered by anyone in the industry. They were pioneers.
Well, you know what they say. You spell how you spell football, it's SEC. And you are strictly dyed-in-the-wool SEC for sure, just like Kaywood was. Don't sell yourself short because you are that good.
Well, Larry, thank you very much. I'll remember this call forever. It means a lot. Although Kaywood Ledford was, just by himself. We're just a talk show, aren't we, Randy? Talk show that talks occasionally to paralegals in New Orleans.
Talk show? You're becoming the king of all media. What was this going on today in the Twitterverse?
That was called Twitter Spaces. When we were in New York a couple years ago, we had one of the top people from Twitter up in our studio, and we started talking about some things to do together. And then Danny Brams and Jamari here on the program have been in touch with TJ, who's a Georgia guy, by the way. I told him once when we were on that I would do it. We had a great time. It took a few minutes to get it going, but it was really fun. And we did a talk show on Twitter today.
Any plans on doing any more? Maybe opening up to things you can't do on the show?
spoken like a true paralegal there.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we're going to do some more. I mean, there are some boundaries that you can run through on Twitter that you can't do here.
Okay, so you can open up your vocabulary, or is it still limited?
No, I think you. I don't think. Well, I don't know. I mean, Twitter's gotten more difficult. Okay, Elon Musk does not own Twitter, does he?
Not yet.
Okay.
It depends what day it is.
Okay, so let's see what happens with
anyway,
Elon.
Anyway, I got to give props to JK. He's absolutely right with his analysis. Not the gym analysis, but the woo baby Paul. If Alabama does not win the national championship this year, will it be an abject disaster, embarrassment, hide your head in a bag for a year?
I think it's always that way for Alabama.
Yeah, but this year, it's like they
own it.
Well,
yeah, I'm getting this, Augie. Saban loves this team. It's the best ever. By the way, that was last year, the year before, and the year before that. But this year it feels real. I think this is an overwhelming favorite to win the national championship. Last year, Alabama wasn't overwhelming. Clemson was certainly under serious consideration. I frankly thought before the season Georgia
was in that similar position. It was hard to stick with that as the year went on. But, yeah, this is all about Alabama. So, I would agree with you.
Absolutely. And I even say if they lose one game but still win the national championship, it will be a dream unrealized. What do you think about that? Not undefeated.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, all that matters is what happens at the end. We have seen countless times Alabama and others lose a game, and it's forgotten about pretty quickly.
Well,
like Georgia and Alabama
they gotta
last
win it
year in Atlanta.
They got to win it this year. And, Paul, can we write the State Department and ask them to revoke AC's passport?
We'll do. Hey, thank you, Augie. We're up against a break. We are not done yet. We have a number of other guests that will be dropping by. And more of your phone calls after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Elliot is up next. Elliot, good afternoon.
Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I know how you don't spell football. It's D-I-S-N-E-Y, and that's who nicks the deal. That's who is responsible for this, and that what they're saying, what they're telecasting, is that football is not important to their network anymore. So when the cards fall and Herbie comes to the Big Ten and
Hold on, stop.
Sure.
You have a negotiation. And you have multiple bidding partners, and at some point, one of those companies, which is the one you spelled out, decides, you know what, we don't think this is worth what they're charging. Why is that Armageddon?
Well, that's one way to view it. The other way to view it is they're more important. There are more important things for Disney than football.
Elliot, that's a ridiculous statement to make. The Walt Disney Company has a multiple billion-dollar investment in every single sport imaginable. The NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, soccer across the world, and college football. How can you possibly make that statement?
I just think that's what they're saying. Now, here's the other question for you.
Elliot, you can't make that statement after what I just got through telling you. The ESPN has properties in the college football space in the SEC. They have them currently in the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, the AAC, every other imaginable league, the MAC. I mean, I don't mean to – speak of your mental health,
but you literally are out of your mind
if you want to make that statement.
Here's why. It's because the deal is so big that nobody walks away from this.
And to walk away, let me help you with that. There's no such thing as when you are not the majority part of a deal. There's no such thing as saying that anybody can walk away. People walk away from deals every day of the week.
What's going to happen when schools end up paying for players because they have to? Who's going to have more money, the Big Ten or the SEC?
Well, yeah, you're acting like this is the end of the world because the Big Ten happens to have just
Rutgers
cut a bigger deal.
Rutgers can beat Vanderbilt any day of the week. Rutgers can beat Vanderbilt any day of the week.
So
Penn State's going to continue to beat SEC teams.
Okay, do me a favor. Will you let me know when you make your point?
I'm sorry?
I said, would you please alert me when you finally make a point here?
Oh, okay. Well, I think I have. I think the deal was too big to walk away with, and I don't think they realized what they were walking away from.
Elliot, I don't negotiate for my company, but I do think they're pretty smart. And they looked at it, and they said we're bidding hundreds of millions of dollars to get the third or fourth best game of the week, and we don't need it. The country really doesn't care about Wisconsin and Indiana or Purdue and Nebraska. They'll probably care a little bit more about Texas A&M and Auburn or something like that.
Perhaps.
No perhaps here. Elliot, all I can say is call me back in a couple of years, and when the SEC wins the national championship this year and next and the year after, and Jim Harbaugh gets run out of Michigan, and Ryan Day, maybe after Saban retires, slips in a national championship, well, we can all sing Kumbaya. Ron is up next in Virginia Beach. Hey, Ron.
Paul, I just want to say that the Paul Feinbaum Show is the greatest show on earth, and you deserve it.
Thank you.
I hope your bosses are listening. Okay, and I'm not brown nosing you or anything, Paul. Is that you don't make enough. You look at the coaches, what they make, you deserve more. The reason why, your heart is in the SEC football. Now, I have a challenge for you to challenge the Big Ten. I'm tired, and I'm a Big Ten man, so I'm going to be honest with you. Okay? You know, and I know, like these, you have this great show, and every caller from all around the United States calls and talks to you, and you talk to us with respect. Does the Big Ten have a show that talks to people like me? No, they do not. And that's why I respect the SEC. I could talk to Nick Saban. I could talk to Kirby Smart. And they talk to me like a human being. Now, the Big Ten can get their TV deals, and you said it. And I'm being honest with you, Paul, and you know I always have been. Roll Tide is all I got to say. What do you think about that?
That's great, and thank you. And let me say something about the Big Ten deal. It is a phenomenal deal, and I said this yesterday, and I'll say it because it's true, and that's what we try to deal with here. The commissioner of the Big Ten cut a monster deal, and it is to his credit that his predecessors gave him a short-term window to work with, and he maximized it. That changes some things, and yeah, you're right. But it doesn't really affect the SEC as much. It affects schools like the ACC, it affects the Big 12, it affects the Pac-12, because the SEC's numbers are not as good. That's fact. But they are also so much more than anyone else's that the rest of college football really ceases to exist in this ecosystem. And yes, for now, the Big Ten has a bigger financial deal. That's a big deal if you want to play games. But this has become a very much a Coke and Pepsi situation where both are going to survive, both are going to prosper, and unfortunately, everyone else is going to be under extreme pressure. You know, Walmart, Target, they both are very successful. But the rest of the companies start to go out of business. Have you seen a Kmart lately?
No.
I haven't either. The Kmart's, I don't want to say that the Big 12 is Kmart. That's actually not fair to Kmart. Let's go to Tim next in Ohio. Hello, Tim. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, question for Elliot in Ohio. How many times has Ohio State in the past 10 bowl games beat an SEC team?
Well, I can think of one, and that was against Alabama, but I'd have to go deep into my history books to come up with. I know they lost a bunch of games to South Carolina. They lost to other schools, but that's not even the point. The point is that numbers change every day. The value of companies that yesterday were at one point are going to change today. And I think the misnomer is that the SEC is just sitting around going, we're good with that. We're not a competitive bunch of people down there. We're just going to let. You just have to look at it and go, okay, what do we do next? And we've already got, speaking for the SEC, I'm saying, they already have Oklahoma and Texas. Is there another move? Do you let this thing settle? And more than likely, you let it settle for a little while. And as Ken Smithmeyer said. He described the Big Ten earlier as trust fund babies. Just because you have all that money, that doesn't mean you're not going to blow it. That doesn't mean it's not going to help you win. Yeah, it will help some of the bottom feeders get better, but we're not talking about the bottom feeders in the SEC or the Big Ten here. We're talking about those who are at the top. We'll take a break. Much more to come. Heading to Alabama next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And for the final time this week, we head back to campus, back to school, in one of the segments that we have really enjoyed doing, and we end up in Alabama. Austin Hannon joining us, the sports editor at the CNW. We talked to him a couple of months ago when we were in Tuscaloosa. I believe it was for the Iron Bowl. Austin, great to see you again. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
You're the we interview young student journalists whenever we're out on the road. I think you're the only one I can remember in the history of the show that had his own fan and student section cheering you on that night.
Yeah, there was a pretty big crowd gathered there. I will fact check you on that. You were here in Tuscaloosa for the Arkansas game.
Oh, the Arkansas
not
game.
The Iron Bowl.
You're right. Sorry.
If you remember, the Iron Bowl was in Auburn on that dreadful day, almost for the Crimson Tide.
You know, one thing I admire about any young journalist. Fact-checking, because there's not enough of it these days, Austin. We were there the next of the last weekend, and I do remember that part of it very well. So let's talk about you for a moment, because you're about to jump out of school. I'm sure nobody wants to leave, but you're doing the unthinkable. You're leaving early.
Yeah, it's a blessing mostly for my parents, right? Those tuition bills come around, and they get one less. It's sad. You got one semester left, but hoping to finish off the right way this football season.
So what have you been doing with your knowledge and experience, and what do you hope to do?
You know, I think I want to stick in the writing thing. You know, for a while, my first goal was kind of to be in broadcasting and play-by-play, and I kind of got to college, and my opportunities arose in the writing industry, and through this, I kind of started enjoying it, and it's kind of been my passion now, so... in the future, I look to do the same. I like beat writing. I like covering and reporting and being the go-to person for fans out there. If they need any updates, they can just check me on Twitter. And I like being that for people.
Austin, you mentioned your parents. I'll sound like one of them now. Do you have a job yet?
I do actually have a job lined up in December. I'm going to be joining Chris Walsh over at Bama Central. So I will be staying here on the Tuscaloosa beat, which is good for me, I guess. You know, it's a comfortable thing. And, looking really to get started over there on the SI affiliate for LM Sports.
You're the unusual college student that has a job before your last semester. I didn't, which drove my poor mother crazy. Let me ask you this. Being a student sports editor at the CNW, that's a very prestigious newspaper, a long history. What's it like covering the GOAT, Nick Saban?
Yeah, it is really crazy. You know, being a kid, I was born in Montgomery. My dad went here. My brother and sister went here. So really grew up in an Alabama family. And, you know, you look up to Nick Saban and the players as like idols and you want autographs and all that stuff. And it is really a whirlwind. You step in the press box or in the room after and you get to interview Nick Saban. It's like it shocks you. You know, he walks in. He is small. Right. I think everybody knows that by now. But it really throws you off when you really see, you know, Bryce Young and Nick Saban for the first time just feet away. And it's been a blessing and a great opportunity to cover them. I've had great opportunities with the newspaper and I really owe everything to them.
Austin, Saban said this week he's approachable. Mm-hmm. Journalists are trained to be skeptical of when well-known people say certain things. I want you to describe how approachable he is to students or anyone else for that matter.
You know, I think he's changed. I think Nick Saban as a person has evolved. The Nick Saban that came here in 2007 and maybe until about, you know, a few years ago was the hard-nosed Nick Saban that everybody really thinks he is. But in his old age, he's lightened up a little bit. You know, he smiles more often. He loves going to the lake. He has the things that make him happy. Obviously, we know about the oatmeal cream pies. That's been a long-time story. So I think in his old age, he's kind of softened up a little bit. I'm sure the players on the practice field probably think differently. But, I think he's a little approachable. I mean, he is Nick Saban. So even as a journalist that covers him every day, you know, it's still like the heart starts going a little bit faster when you get close to him. But I wouldn't say he's completely wrong.
There was a time, I'll try not to go old school on you here, where you could walk into an athletic department, and it's been a while, by the way, and visit coaches. You could even knock on the door and maybe get a minute with the head coach. Is that something that can happen today with the approachable Nick Saban?
It's in the college sports realm, it's really kind of gone away. Obviously, still in professional sports, they have open locker rooms and, you know, stuff like that after games. College, it's really in the hands of, you know, the SIDs who do a great job. But, you know, us as journalists, we all get the same information, right? You know, we have media times where we get the interviews with players, we get interviews with Saban, but it all happens all at once. There's no extra stuff behind the scenes that really happens. So it makes it a little bit more difficult, but it also is, you know, it's organized and these kids have to go to class. And, you know, for Saban, he's got a busy schedule as well.
You mentioned the sports publicity people, and there's some really great ones around college athletics, people that go out of their way to be collegial and cooperative. What's it like dealing with those people in Tuscaloosa?
No, they're great, and they really make everything run. And, you know, I think the number one thing I've learned from them is they are very open to, you know, student journalists like myself. You know, they act like they send me the emails that everybody else gets. They invite me to all the things that all the other media members go to. So they do a really good job of keeping me in the loop and helping me to keep my writers in the loop as well. So all the credit really goes to them, and they keep everything really organized around here.
Do you think because your publication, whether it's through print or digitally, does get seen and read by players, do you think that elevates the importance of the CNW?
Yeah, it's the only on-campus newspaper, right? I mean, they're students here. I'm a student. It's written by students. It's run by students. So I think that gives it kind of a cool twist. And, you know, whether or not the players read it, I don't know if they do. They might. You know, it's just a cool thing that we have the opportunity to be just feet away from them, whether it's in class or, you know, you pass them on the quad or whatever it is. It gives it a little bit of a cooler feel when you're on campus here.
I always thought there's an interesting, maybe a complex dichotomy, Austin, of, you know, you're on campus, you're students, you're fans. I mean, you want mm-hmm. to see your team do well. There's not a student in America who's not cheering, I don't think, for the home team. But you're also training and learning to be journalists who are taught to look at various issues. And not that there are very many unfortunate or unpopular things that happen in a program like Nick Saban, but occasionally when something difficult comes up, how do you deal with it, your staff, in trying to disseminate that information, knowing that there is this invisible line somewhere?
Yeah, it's, I think you go about it the same way as everything. You have to tell the truth. You know, whatever happens, happens. Yes, we all go to Alabama. Yes, we all may be fans in our pasts. And, you know, I think the weird thing for me is I grew up an Alabama fan, obviously, and it's a big reason I came to school here. But ever since starting to do this writing reporting thing, I've noticed that, like, I don't really ever feel the urge to, you know, cheer anymore. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, if I was to go to, like, when I went to a softball game last year, and I sat in, you know, the crowd and just, I was just kind of taking it all in during the regionals. It just never really occurred to me to start cheering. Like I didn't really flip the switch off, I guess. And I think being a student journalist is kind of hard because in that all Alabama media are that way. You know, a lot of people that work in the Alabama media went to school here and they've had to live with that their whole life. But yeah, it is what it is. But, you know, as a journalist, you have to just be there and be unbiased and do your job because, you know, that's what we need.
So what about it this year, Austin? Everyone's has Alabama number one. You agree?
Oh, yeah. I think Alabama is the number one team in the country. There are a few position groups that are questionable. The offensive line was at times not great last year. They do return a couple guys like Emil Ekior, and they got Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt. But I think the number one group on that team that is very interesting come 2 weeks from now is that receiver room. For years and years, Alabama has kind of become wide receiver U, right? But this year, it's kind of weird. You know, Mechie and Jameson Williams are gone to the NFL. You got Jermaine Burton, who just crossed. He got his ring in Georgia and came over here. You got guys like Ja'Cory Brooks that proved themselves at the end of last year. But, you know, Bryce Young's obviously great, right? But with the offensive line and receivers in question, we're going to really kind of see how good Bryce Young is this year.
Austin Hannon, the sports editor of the Crimson and White. Appreciate your time very much. We will see you soon. Always good to catch up. We're heading to the break right now. We will get back to your calls. More guests the rest of the way as we begin to put a capper on this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Rocky is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Rocky.
Oh, good afternoon. Paul, thanks for taking my call. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
Paul, yesterday I was reading something in the local paper regarding the Big Ten media rights deal.
Sure.
And, of course, we know it's 7 years and basically $7 billion. But in this article, it went on to say that the SEC also was under a $10 billion media rights deal, which was for 10 years and extended to 2030. I was not aware of that. I thought the SEC media rights contract was up for renegotiation in 2024. And did I miss something here?
Yeah, it's a little confusing, and I may have given the incorrect year end because it goes the SEC in 2020 made a deal with ESPN. It was all encompassing. It was for basketball and football, but the football part of it now. ESPN already has an arrangement with the SEC in football. the SEC Network, the noon game, the nighttime game. But what they added to that beginning in 24, which is a big part of the equation, or 25, I think. It's actually 25. Or was it 24? I'm trying to remember. 24. Is the 3:30 game, which as it stands is on CBS. So that's the big change, and that's where the big that's a very big dollar amount. That's one of the biggest parts of the package. It's the number one game, and also the SEC championship game, which is on CBS and will move over to ESPN. I'll have to double check how long that part of it lasts, but I think overall the agreement was for 10 years.
So am I wrong then that there will be renegotiation in 2024?
No, that is not correct. That's when the 3:30 game goes into effect.
Okay.
So that will I'll double check because I am confused myself now that you brought it out that part of the agreement went into effect earlier, currently, and then the final piece of it goes into effect in 24.
Okay, well, help. Thanks for helping clarify that. It is very confusing.
Well, it's high dollar math, and I appreciate the call though. That's the part of it that's getting a lot of attention today. Andrew is up next in Florida. Hello, Andrew. Good afternoon.
Hey, was wanting to talk about Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I think it's fabulous. I would like to see it immediately. It's been a long, drawn-out wait, but that's what happens when you make a deal long in advance and then have to wait for it to go into effect.
You know, what I'm really excited, I've been thinking a lot about this. What I'm really excited about is a couple of things. One, it's Texas and Texas A&M getting to play again. I don't know why they don't play anymore. And the other thing is, maybe, I don't know where they're going to land, who's in what division, but I'm really excited about seeing, like, Texas and Texas A&M, like, being an SEC rivalry, and Texas A&M being an SEC rivalry, but Texas and Oklahoma as well.
I think you're going to see those games, and I don't think there will be divisions like there are now, just too many hoops to get through. But hey, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with John. Actually, John is next in Florida. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Happy Friday, Paul.
Hey there.
Before football starts, I think the coaches wanted a little time off. So they wanted to go fishing. And I was going to go with them. And I had to decide who to go with. And I thought I'd go with Saban first, but boy, that turned horrible right away.
Yeah.
You know, as soon
tough
as
guy.
You cast one, he'd say,
with.
Pardon me?
Yeah, he's a tough guy to fish with. I've been fishing with him.
Yeah, you flick it, and he says, son, it's a process. You got to use the same motion with that wrist, point the rod to where it's going, and your tackle box is just crazy. You got to have everything lined up by color, by size. So you say, okay, I'm going to go with Kirby next. Kirby's a nice guy, but let's face it, he's kind of dull. But, you know, pleasant enough company. As soon as you start catching fish, though, his phone rings. And he says, son, it's recruiting time, 24/7, 365. And so all he's doing is on the phone all the time. So got to give up on him. Then we get to Jimbo. Boy, Jimbo's talking fast. He said, we're going to fish here. We're going to fish there. We're going to fish everywhere. We're going to catch the most fish. And I said, I don't care what anybody says. We caught these fish. We didn't buy them. We caught these fish. So that's just too much. Then we go to Josh Heupel. Oh, man, he's got five rods, and he's whirling around like a Tasmanian devil and spinning, and he's working each one so fast that, you know, you just can't do it. You just give up. It's too much stress. Then you think, well, maybe Lane will be a good guy to play fish with.
Oh, my goodness.
But right out the gate, he starts complaining. Yeah, they built a big plant on the river that feeds into this lake and hadn't been the same. And you go, but Lane, you had the lake stocked last night. We got plenty of fish here. So you don't want to hear that anymore. Then you say, well, let's give Brian Harsin a chance. He's a really good guy. I mean, looked like a straight shooter, honest guy. But every time we caught a fish, Jimmy Rain would speed by in his yacht and swamp our boat. So, you know, that was kind of bad. Then we say, well, how about Mike Leach? Well, he was actually pretty good. He would tell great stories. He described the history of fishing, and he told us about what kind of fish is actually in the filet of fish at McDonald's. But then actually it came to the final guy, and it had to be Sam Pittman. Man, he brought a cooler full of beer and sandwiches. Great conversation, great advice. Sam Pittman was the guy to go fishing with.
You know, I agree with you on that. Hey, thanks for the call. Interesting fishing trip and fish story. Richard in Austin, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your feedback on something, get your take on it. Last night I was watching Steve Sarkisian doing an after-practice interview with the press, and he was telling everybody, you know, that he hasn't decided on a quarterback that's going to be another week. He'd like to see what happens, you know, within the course of a week and another scrimmage. And so this morning, Brian Davis had tweeted out that Steve Sarkisian had made the announcement there was an announcement made that Quinn Ewers was going to be the quarterback here. Now, here's what's strange is Chip Brown had also sent out a statement, but Steve Sarkisian.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.